We're welcoming back in the head of the Agricultural Economics Department here at K-State, Alan Featherstone, who spoke on the current farm financial situation and some of the dynamics involved in what's been a notable downturn in the Kansas farm economy, this during the Risk and Profit Conference here at K-State recently. Alan, you did address in that presentation the changes we see in Kansas farm debt. That's always an important barometer as to the health of the agricultural economy. How would you characterize those changes as we're moving through 2016 now?
We have started to take on increased debt levels. If you look at from 2012 to 2014, roughly the amount of debt increased by about $90,000-$95,000. Most of that was in current liabilities, which finance short-term assets. One of the things with current liabilities is all of that debt has to be paid off within a year. I think the other thing that's really important about that debt is that it's subject to a variable interest rate. So if interest rates would increase dramatically, that debt would be subject to that. That's opposed to intermediate and long-term debt, where much of that debt is fixed interest rate. So in some respects, that provides a little bit more liquidity. And that's probably one of the positive aspects if you think and compare how we are now compared to where we were previously. The fact that there is those fixed-rate products, those producers that have taken those fixed-rate products and have maybe paid a little bit more up front on the interest rate certainly do not have to worry about the risk on that part of the debt if it increases. But what we actually saw in 2015 was actually a little bit of a change where some of that current debt moved into long-term debt. In addition, the amount of debt increase was quite a bit lower. It was about $24,000-$25,000 per farm as opposed to $45,000-$50,000 the previous couple years. And of that, essentially about 50% was in current, 50% was in long-term, compared to the previous years where roughly about 80% was current and 20% was in the longer term. And so from that perspective, the debt situation looked a little better in 2015 than it had in the previous 2 years. One of the things, though, we also ended up doing to essentially just see where we are is we kind of looked at where the debt-to-asset ratio was for the Kansas farm economy as a whole.
Which is an important measurement, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is an important measurement. And in 2014, we ended the year at about 20% on average. In 2015, we ended up at about 24% on average. And so that did increase. However, I think it's important to put that into perspective. If you would go back to 2005 and essentially the 20 years previous to that, we were running a debt-to-asset ratio about 30 to 35. And so the 24% that we have now is historically low, although it does seem pretty high jumping up from the 19%, 20% that we saw just a year earlier.
Mm-hmm. So, and we'll come back to this, but what that says is the next couple of years ahead are going to be instrumental in that debt-to-asset ratio and what it indicates about the solvency of our farms. We also need to look at the overall impact of all of this on one of the main assets that underpin so much of the agricultural economy, production agriculture, land values, which have been, as everybody understands, rather formidable in recent years. But those are starting to ebb away too, are they not?
Yeah, in terms of the last 2 years in Kansas, we've actually seen a decrease in land values. In 2015, we saw a decrease of about a half a percent. If you look at 2016, we've actually seen a drop of about 7.5%. And so certainly we have ended up beginning to see land values fall off. And they end up making up about 75% of a farmer's balance sheet. And so in some respects, what happens to land values is going to be pretty critical in terms of just where those debt-to-asset ratios go. One of the things we're able to do is that we're able to spend a little bit of time shocking the individual farms and essentially look at, okay, what would happen if land values decreased by 10%, 20%, 30%, realizing that we've already went through about close to 8% decline over the last year. And one of the things I think that's fairly important to realize, and again, a pretty positive takeaway, is that even if land values would decline by 30%, The debt-to-asset ratio would only go up to about 27%. And so in some respects, we still are in a fairly low situation. If just land values would fall by themselves, we still are in a good leverage position. Probably what's most disconcerting to think about is that if asset values are falling, what is happening to the debt? For example, will farms be accumulating debt at the same portion in time? And that's really where the repayment capacity, the working capital kind of come back into play, is that we can essentially deal with a decline in asset values as long as there is the cash necessary to keep us in a relatively decent position with regards to the amount of borrowing going on in the sector.
And that leads us to then the outlook for the next year or two. We talk about what the end numbers for 2016 might bring to bear and how tight things might get for producers. But you indicate that 2017 may be more of a turning point yet for this economy?
Again, in 2016, 2017 certainly continues to be a concern. One of the things that's probably really helped 2016 is the yields that we've seen, the high wheat yields, the expected high corn and soybean yields. If you look at what USDA projections are, they're going to come in expected at an above average type amount. And so in some respects, 2016 will probably look a lot like 2015 from an income position. Probably what's most concerning is where 2017 comes in. If we return to a more normal crop and we don't see a change from where we are in a price expectation perspective, we could end up seeing a more difficult net income situation in 2017. Again, that does assume that we don't have a lot of adjustments in cost. However, I think we will see farmers adjusting costs, looking at perhaps putting on a little less fertilizer, perhaps using insecticides a little bit less. And one of the things I think this winter, I think farm producers, especially as they think about their spring crops and especially as they think about fertilization rates on their wheat, is really begin to look and address those issues that if we do back off on some of those inputs, how much are we going to sacrifice with regards to yield? And so I think that's one of the places where farmers may be able to give a little bit of thought to being able to cut some of the costs on the input side of their cropping operation.
But in general, your belief is that if producers can manage those costs more acutely, that they give themselves a decent chance of weathering the current economic climate?
Again, assuming that we don't enter into a prolonged period, but again, just thinking about this and looking at, again, recent farm management numbers, in 2015, we spent $312 on variable costs for corn production. If you look at what we were just spending 5 years ago, it was about $268. And so I don't know that we can remove $50 per acre, but maybe if we could remove $20 or $25 per acre, that does make a big difference when you're looking at operations of 1,000 acres or more, if you can cut those type of costs out of there. But again, certainly it's not going to be easy, but it's one of the things that when revenues were pretty high, it made sense to economically add additional input. But with the lower price commodity situation, I think you really need to look at how much can be cut back and how would that affect the yield prospects.
Well, the accent, as always, is on good management and no more imperative than it would be in times like these. But in closing, to put it in context, when you look at where the agricultural economy is currently, compare it to that of the 1980s, there are stark differences, are there not?
Yeah, there are very important differences. I think we'll have this cycle be different, and in some respects, all cycles are different. One of the things that is much different is the interest rate environment. Doing some research that I did on defaulted loans in the 1980s, the average loan interest rate there was about 11%. Well,
yeah, I don't think we're that now.
Yeah, I don't think we're anywhere close to having anyone with an interest rate at 11%. And so that is really a big positive compared to back then. I think the other aspect is, and this is really a policy issue with regards to the renewable fuel standard. essentially we did not have that ethanol demand. And it's very important in terms of not only that RFS, we continue to use some of the crop production in that, but even looking at perhaps exporting that. We've seen a little bit of ethanol being exported to other parts of the world, and so certainly those are aspects that we did not have to essentially support the prices in the 1980s that we may have now.
Very good. These are important perspectives on the status of the Kansas agricultural economy. Alan, thanks for pulling all of this together, as you did at Risk and Profit Conference, and sharing it with us today.
Thanks, Eric.
He's Alan Featherstone, and he heads up the Agricultural Economics Department here at Kansas State University.